natural ability that's you can't coach. It's hard to coach.
For me, he's one of the most talented players in the country.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
The Club Championship Show on OTB Sports in partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of the Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. Hashtag the toughest.
Welcome along to the Club Championship Show in conjunction with AIB. Check out the hashtag the toughest ahead of this weekend. We've got four All-Ireland Camogie finals coming up. On Sunday, it's going to be Croke Park. You've got the All-Ireland Senior Final, which is a repeat of last year. Owlert the Balla defending their title against Sarsfields of Galway, the champions of 2 years ago. St. Rhinus of Offaly defending their intermediate crown. That game up against Salthill Knocktacara of Galway in their first ever final. The intermediate at 2 p.m, the senior at 4. Both those games being screened on RTE2. On Sunday. On Saturday, we've got both of the junior finals in the junior A decider, Clonmorris of Kerry, last year's beaten finalists up against Owen Rue of Derry. That's at 12:30 in Drogheda, and the second game is at 2:30, where Knockinanna of Wicklow will go up against Derry Loughlin of Tyrone. And those games will be shown on the official Camogie YouTube page. So a bumper weekend of Camogie to look forward to. Delighted to say I've got Killian Whelan with me, who's been commentating on Camogie throughout the season. He'll be back in commentary duty again at Croke Park this weekend as well. Killian, this one we really look forward to, but such a real sense of deja vu, particularly about the senior final. We'll have Laura Ward, Sarsfield's defender, with us in a moment. But given, particularly for that senior final, the teams have met so recently, it seems to have come round in a very short period of time. Just before Christmas, they met in the final in Nolan Park, and here they are going back to Croke Park to play the 2021-22 season final.
Yeah, and it could be bookended by two weddings involving the Keoghs as well, Will, with regards to Owlert the Balla anyway, because they are looking forward to another day out at the end of March, but I'm sure hoping that they still have the All-Ireland trophy with them. But I imagine Laura Ward and the crew from Sarsfields will be attempting to get one back at them, and it promises to be an intriguing encounter, because there's no question that a lot of people would have fancied Sarsfields in the 2020 decider. We probably, including myself, we're probably guilty of writing off Owlert the Balla because of you're probably thinking that they're a good bit down the tracks and probably gone a little bit too far. But they definitely have shown an element of revitalisation over the last number of months. And I would imagine going out of Nolan Park that day and talking to some of them, will, you know, the big drive for them was as well that there was potential here, if they were just able to keep with it for a number of weeks, get over to Christmas and so forth, that they could have back-to-back titles here. And do it very, very quickly, and then maybe they might be able to confine themselves to history, and maybe some of them would slip off the stage rather easily. But look, I'm sure if they get the top title again this coming Sunday, you mightn't get rid of them too quickly.
No, for sure. We'll have Daryl Crower on the show a little bit later on as well, looking forward to the intermediate and junior finals. But let's get our focus on the senior decider this Sunday, 4 o'clock, Owlert the Balla up against Sarsfields, as Killian mentioned, a repeat of the final in Nolan Park just before Christmas. And delighted to say that Laura Ward is with us. And Laura, the first question would be, usually you have to kind of dwell for a year, as would have been the case in 16-17 for you guys before coming back around to win an All-Ireland title in 2019. What's it like going from losing a final such a short period of time ago to then having to kind of refix to make sure that you get back into another All-Ireland final? I'm sure it's all gone by pretty quickly, and it was a chance to maybe put that pain of December behind you very quickly indeed.
It was probably the best thing for us, really, that we didn't have long to wait before we got back into it again, and we didn't have to go back into the Galway Championship. We were lucky enough that it went straight into this year's All-Ireland Series, and we didn't have too long, I suppose, to sit down and to dwell on it.
I was having a look. You beat Sloughneil in the semi-final just a couple of weeks ago. I saw the pen pictures ahead of the All-Ireland final with Galway last year, and you had Sloughneil down as your most difficult opponent. I don't know if you even remember doing the interview ahead of that, but you've had a few battles, of course, with Sloughneil in recent years, and back having to beat them in a semi-final again. It's amazing how the same teams seem to keep on popping up against each other in recent times.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, Sloughneil are an absolutely outstanding side. We've come up against them now for the last 5 years. And I suppose it's very unlike them to be knocked out in semi-final stages. But any day, I suppose we're such a rivalry with them, so any day you get to beat them is a great day, really. Because they were beating us for so long for the first few years. But I'd still have them down as one of my toughest opponents up there with Owlert the Balla now at this stage.
Does the expectation in Sarsfields, given that you've been so successful in Galway in recent years, and like you mentioned, the run of All-Ireland finals and semi-finals that you've been to in recent years, does that kind of push an expectation level that you think you're going to be competing at this level year on year?
I don't know. I don't think like we'd put pressure on ourselves or anything like that, like with expectations and stuff. I think we take every year as it comes, and we know how lucky we are to be winning Galway. For as, you know, like as many titles as we have, I suppose. But we try to take every semi-final as if this is going to be our last one. Every time, you know, when we get into them and stuff, and we try to cherish every moment. You don't know what's going to come around the corner. So I suppose going into this All-Ireland final, we might never get back here again. So we kind of want to grab it with two hands while we can.
People will probably have seen in the newspapers this morning, in the interviews you were doing yesterday at the photo shoot, that you were talking about welcoming the idea of the Camogie Association joining up with the GAA and potentially that helping with pitches. And we look back to a couple of weeks ago, Killian and I were talking about in the show last week. Was it very unsettling as a player the way that last weekend played out? You know, initially, understandably, given the way that the pitches situation was, you can probably understand that Breffni Park wasn't playable. But then for it to be fixed for Goree and all the kind of dramatics around that, as a player, how was it?
Yeah, look, it wasn't ideal, and we were just getting ready to go out the door on Saturday morning when the message came in, Joe, you're all set. Like, that's when you're going out the door, that's exactly when you turn on for the game. Like, your head is getting in the game, so it wasn't ideal to get that message through. But look, as players, we couldn't control it. We could only control the controllable, I suppose. And we just had to concentrate on the task in hand and trying to concentrate on the game on Sunday. And thankfully we're on the right side of it, but it wasn't ideal conditions for Shannon Neal either. We're both in the same situation, I suppose, and the pitch, look, it wasn't really playable on the day, but thankfully we're on the right side of it.
As a group with Sarsfields, were you determined to try and get it played that weekend? Because it would have been that more awkward if the other game between Scariff and Owlert had gone ahead, and then say a day to week's extra break and you guys had only played in the weekend just gone by, it would have made it very difficult for an All-Ireland final. Was there any talk at all about potentially looking to get it postponed and pushed back by a week?
To be honest, the players were kind of kept, we were really kept in the dark from what was going on with it all. But I know personally, myself, I wanted to play that weekend. Like, it was, you're the whole week building up for that game. Like, it's one of the biggest games of your life. And to have it pushed out again, Joe, you're all set for that weekend. So, I was happy to have it played, probably because we're on the right side of it. But no, I think we did want to play it, and Stott Neil wanted to play it as well. I suppose when we got to Goree, and the conditions weren't as good, it was probably too hard to pull it at that stage. But if we knew the conditions that Goree pitch was in at that time, I don't think it would have been played. Now, not this in Goree at all. We're so thankful that they let us into the pitch and stuff, but the rain just didn't help the pitch.
Yeah, and the hope would be that if the momentum from GAA Congress were to follow through, and the statement that we've seen from the Camogie Association, it would appear that we're now on the brink of the associations being joined up. I mean, the hope would be that if they are united, it will make it a lot easier to get access to GAA pitches, as opposed to the Camogie Association having to ring around and hope for a favour here.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you'd imagine if we're all under the one umbrella, we can't be kicked out of pitches last minute. We'll have full choice to all the big state, you know, like the big pitches around the country. I'm sure there was definitely a pitch there that like would have been open to us if we were GAA, like if we were the hurlers. I'm sure they would have got into a pitch, you know, that kind of way. But look, hopefully everything is going forward, and hopefully it'll be a lot more positive for Camogie once everything goes through, fingers crossed.
When you look back at that long delayed 2020 final at Nolan Park in December just gone by, I hate to use a rugby phrase, but what would the learnings or the takeaways be from that performance against Owlert that day?
Well, I suppose like the obvious one is our slow start. We've tried to work on that, I suppose, for the last while. In saying that, now you can go out saying, get off to a good start. We tried that against them before Christmas, but they're just an outstanding side. They stop you from hurling in the first 20 minutes. And like, we hope to have learned that from the defeat before Christmas and bring that in the next day. There's a lot more other things that we learned, I suppose, from that game that we hope to bring in the next day, but it's a lot easier said than done, with how talented and how skillful they actually are.
Sarah Donovan distilled it down into something really simplistic last week, Laura, when we were talking about the breakdown of the two semi-finals and looking forward to this week. She was like, the key is you got to stop the bear around the square. You have to stop Una Lacey. And like, you know all about her from the All-Ireland final just a few months ago. It's easier said than done, though, because if you look at the type of finishes that she's put in, both in that final and in the semi-final the last day, she'll kick goals, she'll score off either side. She's really good at taking the ball first time on the ground. How difficult is it as a defender to try and actually stop Una Lacey around the square?
Yeah, look, at like, she is so physically strong. I think that was the biggest shock for me out there that day. I've never matched someone that was just so physically strong. And look, at like, there was times that ball came in and I felt really in control of the ball, and she just got that last minute flick and kicked it into the net. I think she kicked, did she kick one or two that day in that final, and one out of her hand? But anyway, yeah, no, she's just, her strength and them little flicks and her reading of the game, like, it's near impossible to mark experience, really, because that's what you're marking. You're marking such an experienced player between her and Ursula and Una Lacey and them. They read the ball before it's even struck, nearly.
Both knees might be gone, but the brain is still there, and that probably extra yard in the head. Look, it's a collective thing, Laura. It comes down much more than just you about trying to stop her at Croke Park. You got to try and stop that supply, which I thought Owlert were really good at, particularly early in the second half. They ran the ball brilliantly from midfield a few times too. It has to be a collective effort to stop that ball getting into her.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said it there, that's probably the key as well, like, to try and stop that supply coming into her. I'm not saying if a bad ball comes into her, she won't do damage either, but no, to try stop that supply, I suppose, and stop them getting them runners, because you've seen even against Scarroff and Dixborough this year, once they get the ball in hand, there's nearly a line of red and black running at you. They're absolutely unbelievable at that game. David Neal to T, really, so they do. But yeah, no, I suppose that's the key, kind of try and stop that supply in the middle of the field.
Different venue this time round. You're going to Croke Park as opposed to Nolan Park. I remember chatting to you when you were the captain of the Galway Intermediates a few years ago ahead of the final against Westmeath, and you were talking about just being used to going to Croke Park, with your dad being involved with the Galway team previously as manager, and you were getting ready then. You've gone on to the senior Galway team since. You've been to Croke Park a few times with Sarsfield, so it's not an irregular venue for you, but I guess it's no less special going up this Sunday afternoon, even if you have been there a few times in recent years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've said previously how any day you get to go up to Croke Park with your club is just an absolutely amazing day, and you cherish every moment of it. It's like, it's some feeling to be up there representing your club and to be wearing your Sarsfields jersey. And I suppose we've had bad days up in Croke Park as well. And we're lucky enough to have them good days too, I suppose, 2 years ago. But yeah, no, we're looking forward to getting back up to Croke Park. Every time you get to play there is a special day. So we'll take it with two hands.
I remember Michael Jordan saying once, he remembered all the games he was beaten in far more than the championship games which he won. Is that the case for you guys as well? Like, having been so close on three occasions compared to when you actually go up to lift the cup, you probably remember the days where it went wrong as much, if not more, than the days of the success.
Oh, absolutely. I think I remember saying to you as well that time with Intermediates, is it's an awful lonely place the days that you get bet up there. But them games that we've got bet in are probably the games that you think about at night. They're definitely the games I think about at night anyway. That defeat against Owlert, the Valla, Schlotneil beating us up in Clones in Monaghan, and the day they bet us up in Croke Park. They're games that you'll never forget. You think about, what could I have done? What should I have done? What can I do to improve from that day? Whereas the game that we won, to be honest, I can't even remember much of the game itself. I remember after the celebrations and stuff, but the game itself, I wouldn't really have taken much from it. Whereas I tried to take a lot more from the games that we've got bet in.
Well, look, Laura, the best of luck getting ready for it. We appreciate you joining us here on the Club Championship Show on OTB Sports on Match Week as well. And I'm sure it's a very easy team talk this weekend. Let's not have the pain of just a couple of months ago. Thanks a million for joining us, Laura.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
There you go, Killian. The pain is bottled up after what happened against Owlert the Balla the last time, and it's a very simple motivation, isn't it? And that goes for both teams. For Owlert the Balla, it's, we don't want to get our grip taken off this trophy and we want to go back to back.
Yeah, and look, there'll always be the asterisk then with Owlert the Balla that it will have been extra special as a back-to-back title, because it will have been done in the space of 3 months. You know, it'll always be there in the history and in the annals. So that's something that, obviously, you know, I'd imagine Owlert, they're not going to say that publicly or anything. I'm sure they are driven by putting back-to-back titles together, but they'd like that little extra little bit of history. Sarsfields, you know, they have been there. They've lost in Croke Park. They've lost in the All-Ireland final most recently then to Owlert. So there is that hurt, and there is that element of carrying that, I would imagine, up the M6 to Croke Park this coming weekend. The thing would be, we're looking at it a bit, would be that they've only had one game since that All-Ireland final. That could work one or two ways. You know, it was a fairly tough encounter with Schlochneil. They had to go to the well. They showed a huge amount of character and so forth. The other thing, though, is that Owlert have had a couple of games. And, I know it's maybe only one extra game, but, you know, they've kind of fine-tuned some of the things. You know, the Leinster final is probably the closest, obviously, that they've had to encounter. Scariff ultimately didn't raise too much of a shadow to them. So, you know, they've had games that have been out there, and you know, they've got over their COVID issues that they had around Christmas and whatever, and I would imagine they got to blow out some of the dirty petrol against Scariff in some ways. So that might be the only thing that might work against Sarsfields, is that obviously Owlert have had a run of games and they've got their, you know, their game plans together that little bit more or whatever. But listen, I can't imagine that Hopper McGrath has been doing nothing over the last few weeks other than planning how to stop Owlert. Now, I know he wasn't going to look beyond Schlochneil, but you know, I'm sure they had a plan in place that if we do make it through and it's Owlert that we're facing, we ain't going to do what we did down in Nolan Park again.
Yeah, and it makes the preparation probably a little bit easier as well, Killian, when you're going back, you're probably just pulling down the video of the final from a few months ago, and you can, like, they would have had their preparations made for the last final against Owlert anyway. It's probably just fine-tuning that game plan compared to maybe, as Laura said a few minutes ago, a slow start, maybe not quite getting out of the traps as quickly in the second half as well. You know, Owlert, the Ballor, were able to do a little bit of damage. They'll probably be assessing those kind of fine margins when they go into this final.
Yeah, well, it's the two quarter, the opening quarters of both halves ultimately that cost them, and they had too much to do, and they still made a game of it, and were coming, you know, back into that scenario towards the end of it. But look, the bear in the square, I don't want to throw that moniker on top of Miss Lacey herself, but like, she will do damage if she's given time and space, and you know, she did that against Scariff O'Gonlow. I'd imagine Scariff did have a game plan and they were minding her quite well in the first half, but when they had to chase the game in the second half, you know, dropping Ursula out onto the 40 created then the space inside for Una, and you know, she made hay then when she got the opportunity. So look, if Sarsfields give her some of the space in and around Croke Park, she will do damage again.
Yeah, delighted to say we've got Dara Crower with us as well to look at this game and also to look forward to the intermediate and junior finals across this weekend. Dara, we're just talking Sarah O'Donovan's term, not ours, the bear in the square, Una Lacey, and trying to stop her. And we were just chatting to Laura Ward about it there. And, you know, she was saying it's very difficult. You know, it's her movement, it's her physicality, it's kind of everything about Una Lacey, her kind of cleverness in the brain that makes her very difficult to mark. But ultimately, when we look back at that final in December, the difference between the teams really was the potency of Una Lacey in front of goal. It sounds simplistic, but they've got to try and find some way of stopping her raising green flags in Croke Park this Sunday.
Yeah, they do. And Una Lacey's been doing it since the 2007 All-Ireland final with Wexford when she got two as a teenager. And that's only probably when we got to know her publicly. She's probably doing it since she picked up a Hurley. I guess it is a factor. It is a massive factor, though it wasn't the only factor. She's a brilliant finisher, but they had threats all over the field, and really it was that first quarter probably won the game. Sarsfields probably on a lot of metrics matched them from there on in, but had too much to do. If you're going to stop a full forward scoring goals, you need obviously a fullback to do well, but you also need the supply, you know, not to be going in. And so therefore, you know, Anae Corn and Stacey Keogh have been excellent inside there. But obviously Sarsfields are very strong in that area too, with Niamh McGrath playing really good stuff.
Yeah, because this midfield battle
at the moment, and Clodagh in around there. And then Maria Cooney as the sweeper. Sorry?
No, I was just going to say that midfield area is going to be intriguing there around the middle third, because that's where Owlert got a lot of change in the final the last time, and Sarsfields will be hoping to maybe wrestle back a bit of control around the middle of the field if they're going to win this game.
100% will. I think you know, it was amazing. Stacey Keogh got married the day before, but she had an early night. She was so energetic. It was unreal. And Anae Cornan, again, Anae was player of the match, I think, in the semi-final win over Scariff O'Gonlow. But, you know, Niamh McGrath and Clodagh McGrath are top tier. And as we all know, in that area, it's not about 2v2 anymore anyway. You know, those half-forward and half-back lines are very much involved. what Sarsfields do. Maria Cooney tends to play and has played a lot in recent years, sort of sitting in front of Laura Waugh there. And, you know, they will really want to do that to stop Una Lacey getting the ball because she's a finisher. She's just a finisher. But, you know, anyway, a messy goal, scruffy goal, kicking in. But you saw in the final, that touch, that velvet touch is still there. And Ursula Jacobs showed it again in the semi-final. So you've got to stop them getting the ball because they're finishers and they're two of the best finishers that ever played the game. Obviously, Sarsfields have serious finishers too. Siobhan McGrath has really stood up. Shannon Corcoran helping. And Orla McGrath and Sarah Spellman. Orla was really good. And she just... It's so brave to take that ball and run through the middle. Again, Owlert are very strong defensively, but so these are the and really it's 1%ers on either side of the field. Don't mind the gap that was between them at the end and the final, the last day. Really, Sarris has got back on a goal and in the second half and conceded the goal straight away. They're the sort of like split second, regardless of hat tricks, that make the difference in games. So, you know, I haven't a clue who's going to win this game because even mentally there are so many different things going on. I'm just looking forward to, I think it's going to be good weather and Croke Park is the place to have it. My God, I think it's going to be a cracker.
Yeah, Killian, you can be the oracle here. How do you see this game going then? Dara is sat in the fence and he's not sure exactly how it's going to go. Do you have any kind of firm read on this, Killian?
I'd have to concur with Dara. You'd have to be someone that's going to look into the future to be able to call this. You might have, you know, 6 months ago have kind of been nailing your colours with Sarsfields because, you know, they were the coming team and Owlert might have been the ones that were being confined to the history books. But as I said, the revitalisation of the recent months, you know, you could write them off at your peril here and be left with egg on your face on Monday morning. There's no doubt about it. The thing with Dara mentioned there, that if Sarsfields allow Owlert to dictate around the middle that they did, you know, the Kyos will cause damage. And A. Curran is in flying form at the moment. Even across the tricky conditions down in Clonmel the last day, she was just ahead of everybody else at the ground that she covered. And don't forget the magic half back line of names of Dunn, Story and Lacey. Like if Sarsfields don't deal with them as well and the ability for them to stop you playing and also to launch ball, well then it's going to be very much, you're going to see one way traffic here and it's going to be Owlert. And Sarsfields will keep fighting all the way to the end, but you know, that catalyst of that half back line into the middle, if they get a foothold at all, they will dictate matters here. And I don't think it's just going to be enough to stop Una Lacey. It's going to have to be stopping the Kyos, I think, potentially as well. So it's going to be a big task for Sarsfields, I would think. Tara Kenny had a great game against Tina Bradley the last day against Shlock Neal and probably negated Tina somewhat in that game overall. So I'm wondering, will Tara be, you know, positioned in a certain way to take on one of those key roles? It'll be interesting to see. I think it's going to be very much a chess match. This could be an absolute cracker. This could be a phenomenal game, or it could be a bit of a grudge match either way if they try to slug it out that way. I just think there's something about Owlert. And that's no question about turning now the opposite direction here. If you want me to come down off the fence, I just think the drive to maybe put back-to-back titles is going to be something that will drive them that little bit more. The Sarsfields crew are not going to enjoy that one. I would imagine they're going to bring an awful lot to this game too. But I just think Owlert might have something a little extra in the tank.
All right. Well, Dara, slightly similar narrative for the first game at Croke Park, 2 p.m. for both these games on RT2 television on Sunday afternoon as well at Croke Park. We've got St. Rhinus in their third successive All-Ireland final, potentially could go back-to-back and might go to senior level for next year. They defend against the Salthill Knocknacara side, who are in their first All-Ireland final at this level. And again, I think most people are probably tipping St. Rhinus, Dara, given all the experience that they've banked up in recent years and the level they've been at, and even coming through a very hard semi-final against Galtier last time out as well.
Yeah, I think on form, that's what you have to be thinking. I think in the senior final, I think you're caught in yourself if you think you know who's going to win it. Sorry, Killian. But I think it's a hop of the ball. Whereas this one, if it's a horse race and you're looking at the form, I think you know, you have to. St. Rhinus are firm favourites because of their form over the past 3 years, where they were dreadfully unlucky maybe to lose to Galtier, then beat Galtier again in the semi-final. And they just have so many big players. And, you know, Kay Kenny is obviously phenomenal. We spoke about her the last time I was on with you before the last finals. She delivered with 9 points, and that last score in the game will live long in the memory. And she just seems to do it within herself, so languid, both sides from free and from freezing from play. But now with Siobhan Flannery back available, she doesn't have to stand on the edge of the square, and it's great to have the option to switch, but now she can come deeper and win ball and score from further out the field. And they just have, you know, they have it all over the field. Work rate and the likes of Mairead Daly, you know, Roisin Egan, so powerful, so influential, both ends of the pitch. Helen Dolan, they just have them right the way through. Roisin Egan was brilliant again in that semi-final. She needed to be stuck to penalty, won by Siobhan Flannery. Linda Sullivan got the goal, and it was just so clever. You know, it looked like Kira Jackman had the ball, and she had it snaffled away from her in the blink of an eye in the back of the net. They're used to being here. But Will, the Salt Hill Knockmacara story is a phenomenal one. They only won their junior championship 12 months ago. They didn't win the intermediate final. They lost it by a point to Kinvara, but because they are sort of a temporary amalgamation with Gort, if I understand properly, they weren't eligible to go forward. It was a winning point in injury time, and they've just kept going. They've good, strong defence. They kept Portaferry. I know the conditions were horrendous, but they kept a Portaferry team with Niamh Mallon, who I expect to win an All-Star before the end of the month. You know, and kept them to 5 scores. They were underdogs in that, so I don't think they mind being underrated. They're just in a flow of momentum and looking forward to the weekend, but obviously Ryan is our favourite.
Yeah, Killian, Ryan's going to have to keep an eye particularly on Laura Kelly though, because in that game against Portaferry she got 9 points. Very clear that she's carrying the scoring threat for this Salt Hill team coming into the final.
Yeah, no doubt, and that would be obviously the marker then that you would imagine that Molly Dunn's charges are going to be looking at with regards to, you know, the final, that we got to keep her out of the scoring zone, either from play or from obviously from freeze, because she's been able to notch them over from all potential angles. So that will be the big thing. Salt Hill Knocklacarra, green with Dara. What a huge story, though, Will, where they've obviously come from. You know, 2018, I think they won a minor B title in Galway, 2019, win the league title, and then following that on, then into junior, obviously title won last year, and then here they are in intermediate final. The club seem to be heading in the right direction there and putting huge, huge work behind all codes. Their men obviously got out into an All-Ireland Junior semi-final. I think they lost to Moon Coin subsequently, but you know, they definitely are a rising ship at all levels down in Salt Hill Knocklacarra.
And interesting
there,
so. As well, Killian, like an area around the city which is far more kind of identified with football as opposed to the smaller ball, yep. But they're obviously making progress in different codes here.
Yeah, no question, and it's great to see, as you said, that they're now getting to show their talent. I said that the women of their club are able to show their talents in Croke Park, like their men obviously did moons ago in the football front. But look, it's a great story, but I agree with Dara. Rhinos get the hold on this, it could be a tough afternoon for Salt Hill Knocklacarra in some ways. Rhinos, don't forget, you know the anomaly that's within the Camogie Association. You have to put back-to-back All-Irelands together to be able to step up a level. Rhinos reckon, I'd say, for the last 2 years that they're a senior team. You know, I think they'll do the needful and achieve that on Sunday afternoon.
Derek, can I ask you about that rule before we go on to the juniors? Because to me, it seems a little bit unfair if a team wins an All-Ireland and then isn't promoted, because the concern would be, you see so many of these teams that have been to All-Ireland finals and maybe won one, lost one, and then go back in another campaign again, that potentially they're maybe a little bit too strong for that grade, and there's the possibility they might actually hold back opportunities for success for other teams if, say, they don't go back to back and they get to 3 finals and win 2 out of 3 or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know what the thinking was, but I think, to me, I presume the reason is because of the huge gaps that did exist between tiers, and we only have to look at hurling for argument's sake. It doesn't exist in football, but in hurling, even though we have 4 tiers, we still see huge gaps. And you know, we have seen many a time teams go up and get hidings and come back down very quickly. So I think that was the thinking. You look at the junior, and actually the history in recent years is the teams have won 2 in a row. It's probably a sign of the competitiveness, that hasn't occurred just in the last couple of years, where Harney stopped Clanmorris doing it in the junior, for argument's sake. And now Clan Morris beat Raharney in that semi-final, so it's not going to happen. So maybe it is getting more competitive. But we've seen with Salt Hill knock Nacara, who weren't able to get to a junior final for argument's sake and are now getting to an intermediate final. So I think the standards are improving, but I presume that's the reason why, and that teams are ready. You do look at a county like Waterford, say, who are an established senior inter-county camogie team, and saying, should their champions not be, you know, but I think it's probably just cautious. It's a cautious route that made sense, certainly when I look at what happens to a lot of teams that go up and aren't ready. So I think that's the thinking. If you win it twice, there's no doubt about it. And of course, if you're beaten, well, then maybe you weren't good enough.
Yeah, and look, the argument ought to be there. St. Rhinus could win an All-Ireland Club Intermediate this weekend. Their county gets promoted to senior level. They might not be the champions next year, and the champions that come out of the county might not be as strong. So there is that argument to it as well. Before we talk about the juniors, I think this is like an intriguing story. Katie Mullen, the Irish hockey captain, is going to be playing for Eoin Rua of Derry in their final this weekend. And Katie was speaking to Joe Molloy on last night's Off the Ball, and talking about the balancing of the two sports and enjoying going back in to play camogie with her club.
I think mainly for me was to do with my very close friends that I grew up playing camogie with, being on the team and wanting to take to the field with them again, and also just pulling on the club jersey. I think on reflection, having done it, to now, it's been very nice for me to be in an environment where I sort of just come in, slot in. I don't have the same roles and responsibilities, and for me that's been a nice little change. I do love, you know, the roles and responsibilities I have in the hockey environment, but it's just been something different for me to sort of sit back and observe and see what I can learn about myself there in that role too.
I mean, on the face of it, you could say maybe interchangeable skills, hand-to-eye coordination, striking some kind of a ball with some kind of a stick. Have you found it relatively seamless to get back into the swing of things? No pun intended.
Absolutely. And I think over the past sort of 6-7 years, hockey has really progressed in terms of a lot more of the game being played in the air. So the skills such as, you know, soling the ball from hurling and camogie is very much transferable now, and the aerial ball rule has changed also in the game of hockey, which is a much more applicable skill for camogie. So the transfer is only increasing of skills, but also just being in a team environment, a female team environment, and seeing culture, and there's just so many crossovers. And I just think, where possible, if you can play multiple sports, then we should encourage that.
Dara, I love stories.
As you can see,
when it comes to
the battle and everything that has been out there is seen.
As we hear Killian doing some commentary there in the background. But I love stories like this, like with Katie Mullen. Just a few months ago, she's out captaining Ireland at the Olympics. And here she is now getting ready for noon on Saturday to go to Drogheda to play for her club against Clonmorris in an All-Ireland final. It's the romance of the club, isn't it?
Listen, it's yeah, absolutely. There's a purity to it. And, you know, Katie spoke about that in a great interview with Seamus McMullen in the Irish News last year, about how important camogie was when she lost her place on the Irish hockey team, coming back into the bosom of her own. And she has always spoken about, these are her friends, these are where she's come from. And she has won two All-Irelands with Eoin Rua at the beginning of the last decade when she was a teenager, and just beginning to take hockey seriously. So, you know, after all the pressure that they've had with Olympics and qualifiers for World Cups and that, she felt she needed to go back to base camp to, you know, for her head as much as anything. And it's from the county finals she's been back, and she's been hugely influential. She retains all her ability, was on the Ulster Club Team of the Year for her couple of games in the Ulster Championship. And it is a brilliant story, as is Eoin Rua again coming back. You know, in this time where there's so much, like, we've got development said to me, and I'd agree wholeheartedly, there are a lot of GA coaches could look at this. You know, this is the international hockey captain, and her head coach is giving her the chance to play another code for her mind as well as her body. We're seeing so much pressure being put on kids. You have to pick A, B, or C, you know, and it's happening in GA now. Too much, you know, give up everything else. Not healthy, and you know, it's not necessary. But anyway, that's another story. Brilliant for Katie, and it's brilliant for Camogie to have someone like this that, you know, wants to come back, because it's about the community.
Clonmorris, Killian, coming into this, obviously driven on by the pain of recently losing an All-Ireland final, but they got the revenge pretty swiftly, like very swiftly, less than 2 months between the final and their All-Ireland semi-final. They just about edged out Raharney, and it seemed, on the face of it, a very good defensive performance in the semi-final, Killian, to keep Raharney's score down in the second half and then also an extra time and just to edge out what was effectively an arm wrestle in that semi-final in Banner.
Yeah, and if you remember their final against Raharney, and this is not taken from Raharney's performance that day or whatever, Clonmorris were down to the bare numbers of what was on the field because of a registration issue, because they thought the 2020 finals weren't going to be played, so a number of players headed away and so forth, and then when they were back they weren't obviously be able to take their place in the team. Then they were able to rejoin the panel, and all of a sudden the panel swelled to about 25, I think, in preparation then for the 2021 championship, and that obviously has been a factor then. That, you know, they, when they started to suffer a little bit on the ground in the last quarter against Raharney in the 2020 final, they weren't able to bring anyone off the bench. They obviously have been able to do that, but they've had to go to the well and do it there against Raharney the last day. You know, Patrice Diggin has obviously had to lead the way. Jackie Horgan and the others have obviously shown their part. So look, they're a community as well, and flying the flag for Kerry Camogie for the last number of years. I think it's going to be a tough one to call here. I know people might say they've obviously been previous champions and have got to finals and it might stand up for Clonmorris here, but you know, Katie Mullen, it's not just about Katie Mullen either with Eoin Rua, but that'll obviously be a key factor. And I think if Clonmorris, let's say, didn't show them an element of respect here, it could be a game that could catch them out a little bit. So I don't expect that will happen though, and it's going to be a, I think, a close enough encounter, but I think Clonmorris, you know, might be there just to get back at the top table again.
Yeah, that's a 12:30 start in Drogheda on Saturday. The second game is the Junior B final of the double header in Drogheda on the day, and we've got Knockinanna of Wicklow, who've been right up there among it, up against Derry Loughlin of Tyrone. Dara, Killian, thanks a million for joining us on the last club championship show of this season. That brings to an end our 13 weeks or so looking at the hurling, football and camogie championships. It was all with thanks to AIB. My thanks to Catra Murphy, who's been producer throughout the series, also Emma Carroll, who's been working on vision mixing, bringing it all together, particularly for our social media streams on Off the Ball. Thanks to all of our regular co-hosts like Killian Whelan, Tommy Rooney, we've had Daro Coram, we've had Fintan O'Toole, all these people joining us throughout the season, and all of our analysts as well. But thanks a million mainly to you for watching and listening to us. If you missed any of today's show, you can catch up on the Off the Ball YouTube once we go off air, and also you can check out the OTB GAA section in our podcast network. Best place to do so is on the OTB Sports app. Thanks a million for watching.
The Club Championship Show on OTB Sports in partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of the Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. Hashtag the toughest.